Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, for The Boundless Show, and I want to give you a little bit of info on this week's show, as I always do, so you know what's coming up. But first, I want to let you know that this week's show is sponsored by our very own Odyssey Adventure Club, and I have Brock here to tell us a little bit about what that entails.
Hey, thanks, Lisa, for having me here today. Yeah, we're really excited about the Odyssey Adventure Club. It is the one place you can go online to access all of the adventures in Odyssey. You can get it on your computer at home or your mobile device, and you have access to over 18,000 minutes of Adventures in Odyssey, 12.5 days of listening 24/7. So get your coffee ready and stay up all night and see if you can do an Odyssey marathon. But there's a few other things we're doing. We have exclusive episodes that are only in the club. We're giving away a percentage of the fees every month, and we have a daily devotional feature for kids to either start or end their day with a Devo, but that's for everybody. And we're excited about how Adventures in Odyssey has been impacting lives for 25 years, and we hope for many, many more years ahead. And we think this club is the way to do that, with meeting families where they're at, online, 24/7, anywhere they're at.
Very cool, very cool. Where can folks check it out?
OAClub.org is where you can go and sign up and become a member.
All right, and thanks for sponsoring the show. Yay, we love our Odyssey people. We know that we have so many fans out there, led by the Martha Krinke, our own Martha Krinke, who's the Uber fan.
Go, Martha!
All right. Well, later on in the show, we have one of our counselors, Roberta, who is going to answer a question from one of our guys. Basically, he wants to know, he has had a longtime friend, a female, and he has now started developing feelings for her. And so, can he express those feelings without risking the friendship? And Roberta will weigh in on that. And then for our culture segment, we are very pleased to have Dennis Rainey. He is the president of Family Life, for those of you that know that, and the host of the nationally syndicated Family Life Today broadcast. And so he's going to be here to talk about kind of some wisdom that he's gleaned in dating, especially in our current culture, because he has six adult children. He's navigated, helped them navigate towards marriage. And he's the author, actually, of Aggressive Girls, Clueless Boys. So he's going to talk about that as well. And then here we are. I'm going to actually toss the show again from the beginning here to our very own Steve Waters. He decided to visit us in Colorado. So of course I said, Steve, you're here. Come and take on a roundtable. So Steve is leading a group of guys in talking about man-sized challenges for 2014. Steve, take it away.
Well, hello and welcome to the roundtable. This is a blast from the past. This is Steve Waters and coming back through Colorado Springs. I've been out in Louisville, Kentucky for the past 3 years out at Southern Seminary, and I have come back to visit Focus. We are here. I am here with Dan Dumas, who is the Senior Vice President over Institutional Administration at Southern Seminary. We are here visiting Focus and looking at the new digital engagement center that Focus has, seeing how our seminary can learn from what Focus is doing. And it is a rare treat to be back here in the studios to see Lisa and the gang, to be back as part of the Boundless podcast. Dan was on the podcast, it's been a little while back now, but I was here talking about the Guide to Biblical Manhood. And so while we were out here visiting, we talked about how nice it would be to get back in the studio, talk about manhood. But also rounding out the round table here is Andrew Hess, who is a regular on the in the round table, part of the Boundless podcast, and Mike Holsmith, who has been on the show a couple of times. And it's good to have this group together. Mm. Now, we're specifically together talking about, as this new year gets kicked off, each of us at some point has taken on what we would call man-sized challenges, and wanted to throw it out to our listeners, to the Boundless listeners, to say maybe 2014 is the year for you to take on a man-sized challenge, to realize probably one of the most formative things you can do this year is commit to something that is bigger than anything you thought you could ever take on, and let that be a stretching, defining experience that spills over into the rest of your life. And so that's how we want to throw it out for the round table. And I want to start with you, Dan, because I know we've talked about a challenge you took on this past year, and just to let the Boundless listeners know about the Tough Mudder challenge that you jumped into this year.
Oh, yeah, Tough Mudder. Whoa. Yeah, I think that was, a couple months ago. A few of us, five of us, took on the Tough Mudder there in Kentucky, and it was definitely, at 48 years old, it was definitely a challenge. It required mental endurance.
So what were some of the aspects of the Tough Mudder?
Well, it's not a long race. It's only about 12 miles. It's the obstacles that make it challenging. So you add in the elements of rain, ice, mud, walls, electrocution. They hit you with 10,000.
Okay, now stop on electrocution.
Yeah.
So
10,000 volts. You have to run through this mud pit with 10,000 volts hanging down with little thin wires. And it's guaranteed you're going to get hit at least once in that pit. I got hit three times. And when it hits you, just immediately, like being tased, fall to the ground. So,
does anybody ever die?
No. Yes, just recently. About a week ago,
actually. That is a man-sized challenge.
But that was from drowning and not from electrocution.
Oh, geez.
Yes. So he jumped off a large tower. And you jump in, and so kind of a sad note for Tough Mudder. But it was designed by the British Special Forces. It's kind of a craze right now, and it's all about mental endurance and finishing. So it's not just starting, but finishing. And I think when you're talking about man-sized challenges, you got to talk about finishing some things when you look at 2014 in front of us.
Mm. Now, Dan, earlier in the year, you had started the year off with your boys talking about how men do hard things, challenging them to do hard things. And what was the passage that you kind of held up as a verse for the year for your boys in terms of doing hard
things? Sure. Every year we come up with a theme for the boys, and we just have two boys. But we try to theme it around a text of Scripture. This year was 1 Chronicles 11:22 in particular, where it says that Benaiah jumped into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. And so when you read it, it's a pretty nondescript verse just tucked away in the Chronicles, and then you start going, wow, that's substantive. Here's this guy who sees a lion trapped, probably a lion trapped in a pit, but still alive. He jumps in, and the text of Scripture, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says that it was snowing out that day, so he didn't have footing. It was the worst possible circumstances. He was in a confined pit with the king of beasts, a lion, and the text says he killed that lion. And so it was just an opportunity for me to remind them that as young boys, the principle that leaders do hard things, or let me say it a different way, leaders do hard gospel things. So we translate it from just, obviously, they don't have an opportunity to kill a lion, but to take on hard tasks and not to look for easy street, but actually to look for the hardest path possible and to engage. And so it's just a simple way of doing that, but framing it with the text of Scripture, like Deuteronomy 6 states, you put it above the doors. So we have a blackboard in our garage, and we have that verse there, and we write down things that we slay metaphorically in our family. And it reminds them about doing hard things, because I'm trying to raise boys that would do hard gospel things all their lives. So,
and Dan, what's different in that context from just pure machismo, just doing it just to say, look at me and what I can do as a guy?
Well, sure. I think when we're talking about man-sized challenges or manhood in general, I'm not trying to just raise men. I'm trying to raise men of God. So I'm tying it to Scripture. In other words, character's what I'm after. But there are some physicalities to that that is expected of them that will call them up and call them out. And so I'm attempting to, obviously focus in on the spiritual nature of that and to embed them with character, because I don't just want to raise a man, I want to raise a man of God. And so, and I'm doing it early. It starts very early. As the old phrase goes, you either bend a boy or mend a man. And I'm choosing to do it early in their lives and being, call me crazy, intentional about it, just trying to be intentional in my simple way. It works with my simple kids and how they look at things. But you'd be surprised how often they go out through the garage and they look at that board to see if it's changed or if I've added a challenge. And it could be as simple as eating a bowl of broccoli. Just the other night, that was the case. My wife put this big bowl of broccoli, and everybody knows broccoli is a useless vegetable, right? It doesn't have any taste. It's horrible. It gets in your teeth. It's a disaster. Well, my wife, she goes upstairs, and that bowl of broccoli is there, and Aiden's looking at it, my 10-year-old, and he's like, that stuff's horrible. And I said, I agree. But I said, you know what? And he said, what? And I said, leaders do, and he finished the phrase, hard things. I said, we're going to eat every piece of broccoli. He goes, no way. I said, yep, we're going to do it before your mom comes down. And we did. We pounded broccoli till it was coming out our ears. But it was just a, you see what I'm saying? It was just a simple thing that I'm trying to teach him with the very, being faithful with the very smallest things, so that one day when he has to run into a burning building or save someone's life or confront a brother in Christ or whatever he's got to do, those harder things, he's learned all along the way. That's what leaders do. So it's just part and parcel for raising boys and challenges for 2014. And I can't expect them to do hard things, and I don't model that. That's why I did Tough Mudder. Mm. And plus all the young guys, I just want to show them I still had a little bit of game left in them. So.
Well, and what we're talking about here is taking on a challenge that in some ways is kind of packaged, it's pre-planned, it's predictable in a sense. Knowing that really what we're trying to do is cultivate muscles and instincts for the challenges in life that aren't planned, that aren't prepackaged, and frankly are ones that are easy a lot of times to just dodge and try to avoid, especially things like you're talking about, you know, maybe witnessing to someone or engaging a tough relational situation or maybe pursuing a relationship. Those are the kind of things you could look at and say, well, that's optional. Instead of realizing, no, that's a challenge that I need to recognize. It's going to make my heart rate go up. It's going to drive some adrenaline, but that's a challenge that I need to step into.
I mean, I'll be very honest that right now I have anxiety thinking about this. Like, there's a sense of fear thinking, like, what challenge will I present to myself for the coming year that will stretch me in that planned area, but then in preparation for the unplanned? I mean, I grew up in a strong Christian home. My dad taught me how to fear the Lord, but I don't think I received many of those challenges, Dan, like you're talking about. And thinking, if it had become routine that I experienced those challenges, I wonder if I would have that sense of anxiety right now. I don't think I would have as much, because that fear, that anxiety is a signal that you're doing something that is a challenge, is stretching you. I mean, if challenges were easy and comfortable, we wouldn't have the adrenaline rush. We wouldn't have anxiety or fear.
Yeah, in fact, Randy Stinson, who works with us at the seminary, he talks about how it's good in taking on these challenges to feel your heart race, to feel the adrenaline, and realize that's not a bad thing.
Right.
That it's actually part of how God designed
us. It's a God-given emotion.
Yeah.
Which
creates focus and engagement and all this. Now, let's expand this a little bit to realize, obviously, there are some physical challenges you can take on. I know one of the challenges I took on this year was committing to run 12 to 15 miles a week, and that's not a lot for a lot of people. I know there's people who do that every day. For me, though, that was a big stretch, and it was something I found as a physical thing, it focused my mind for taking on mental challenges and other things. It gave me that kind of that daily routine, setting the stage for the day. But I know there are other challenges, examples of taking on big man-sized challenges. What are some of the other categories that our listeners could be thinking in?
Yeah, I think and one that I've done in the past is taking time to really push myself in the realm of my finances. I think that, and a lot of times we just think of, oh, well, we're always kind of just working on our finances or we're spending money. But to really, to start to work at being good at finances in general. And so one of the ways that I've done that is to read books that will push me in different ways, like push me as far as my giving or push me in even in how I'm stewarding the money that's coming in, how I think about money in general. And because a lot of times when we think about, oh, well, if you're going to work on your finances, you're just trying to spend less. I mean, that's right. What working on finances is, right? And actually, what I found is there's a lot of other things that you can do that actually improve your whole financial situation, where you're getting into really good habits, where you're taking a look at, I mean, I use a software package where, you know, regularly, weekly or monthly, I'm sitting down and I can see everything that I'm spending, everything that I'm doing, all that I'm giving, and just can assess, do I like where things are? Do I like what I'm doing? And now we're at the end of the year and I'm sitting down and saying, okay, like, is there any end of the year giving I want to do? Are there any decisions I should make? I'm already starting to think about, okay, taxes are coming. Is there things that I want to do that will, you know, make my tax burden less or whatever? Which is a whole other podcast, but things like that, just being intentional. I think a lot of times we don't think that's a skill or a challenge or something we can get good at. And I feel like through reading different books and being intentional, I've actually made that a really big strength, where when I was in seminary, I would have said that's a weakness because I'm going into debt, going through school and probably making bad decisions. And now I look back and I'm like, well, that wasn't bad debt. I mean, it was good for me to finish that. And now it's created a lot of opportunities for me. But I think for me, the challenge is always wanting to tweak and do that better and to think with wisdom. I mean, I've got a sister-in-law who is like the queen of coupons, and they're always letting me know like, oh, these deals they got and just things. And it's like, oh, there's another area that I could, you know, as a single man, I could probably get better at stewarding my grocery budget if I, you know, did things like that. Now, and that's not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I want to be in this regular habit where I'm always like, okay, God's given me this money. And even if I'm not like a finance guy or I don't like to sit around and like spin numbers, that this is something that God's called me to and that I want to do that well.
Andrew, I think you're onto something there. In particular, if you go upstream from the practical, which you just stated, fundamental to a leader is that he gives more than he takes. Mm-hmm. That's just a fundamental gospel leadership principle. It's all about giving. We have a scene in our Savior, of course, the consummate giver, giving his life, obviously. And so I think that's huge in any manifestation of giving. That could be you giving more time to your local church and that expression there, you giving more finances. And some people say, well, I don't have enough money. It's not about the volume.
Yeah.
It's about the act.
Yeah.
And so there's micro philanthropy, helps a family trying to adopt.
Yeah.
You say, I'm a single guy. Yeah, help someone to adopt. If you can't go on a short-term mission trip, then help send somebody.
Yeah.
If you should volunteer at Compassion International and all these different places. Serve.
Yeah.
I mean, just get in the regular habit and discipline of giving yourself away. I think that's one of the hard challenges for 2014. And what you're saying is being intentional about it, Mike.
Well, why is it that we don't see those challenges as worthwhile, like the micro giving? It's almost as though, you know, I'm going to either run the tough mud or I'm not going to do anything. Like, we don't see the in-between of the workouts that you probably had to do, the mental, the physical endurance testing to achieve the tough mudder. So there are the smaller steps.
Well, I think one thing to keep in mind for something like a man-sized challenge is there's something to be said for what Dan and Chip Heath have called a bright line goal, where it's easy sometimes for me to say, you know what, I should probably be a little bit more health conscious this year. Well, you can drive a truck through health conscious, you know, and you can justify all kinds of exceptions to the rule, whatever. Sometimes you need a bright line goal of a clear challenge where you say, I'm not going to eat sugar for the next 21 days. And something that is tangible, that you know what it looks like to violate it. And sometimes we need something like that, or even, I know this idea of this year I'm going to read through the Bible. I'm going to make a commitment, and over the course of the year I'm going to read through it. And we need something like that as a clear goal a lot of times to stretch us, especially to replace a bad routine with a good routine, you know, to force us to not just nibble at it. And that's the thing about a tough mudder. You make a commitment like that, and now you got to go cash that check that you just wrote. Yeah,
October 18th was coming, and every day I got a little closer. I was, you know, fudging and seeing if there's any possible. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was testing my capacity to engage in that. And I would encourage the listeners, you know, they're already into January by now. You should have a kind of a gospel bucket list, you know, of man-sized challenges for this year. If you don't, I would encourage you to do it and write it down and be specific.
Yeah, because it was this time last year we were sitting around as a family. And Harrison, some of you who have been around the show longer know we have our oldest son is Harrison. He just turned 14 last week. But last year he decided he wanted to take on the challenge of swimming across the lake where his grandparents have a cottage on a lake, and it's a mile across the lake. And so just that it's a bright line goal. It's clear. Swim across the lake.
Yeah.
And he did that, and that's something that now anytime he has, you know, apprehension about going up and greeting someone or just small things, it's that confidence builder that says, I swam across the lake. I think I can figure out how to go have a conversation with somebody.
Yeah. You know? And I think the thing that we want to avoid is it's easy to get in some of these areas of our life to just start coasting.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's finances or your physical health. I mean, I remember, like, all this conversation reminds me of high school basketball, playing basketball and those early morning practices during Christmas break, and it's the last thing you want to do is go in and run around. Hmm. And yet you did it. You got up and said, I'm going to go do this, and you felt better after you got it done. But it is so easy, you know, to get into these mentalities where you're just kind of coasting through life, and it's like you just kind of default to the least common denominator, or you go home and you've had a long day and it's like, oh, it'd be really easy to just sit in front of the TV all night. But it's like, if I have challenges in my life and there's things that I know I should be doing, you know, and it's not wrong to watch some TV. But
yeah, it is.
I think TV is wrong. But, you know, I think those are those things, these challenges keep us from just kind of floating through. Because I know guys that are my age who, if they don't have, like, I'm thinking of one friend in particular, but they don't have, like, a regular schedule. And on days when he doesn't have to go into work, he could sit and play video games all day.
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, it's like, okay, how do I, you know, help him? But it's like, challenges should get us to a point where we can't ever do that. Like, we can't ever just waste a day. No offense.
This conversation reminds me of one of my regrets. Working on a book project now entitled If I Were You, looking back from 48 years, looking back, if I were to do it over again, and I became a believer late in life in the military, but if I were to do it over again, one of the things I do regret is I should have taken more risk. I wish I'd have taken more risks and done some things. I wish I'd have learned another language. I wish I would have gone overseas more. I wish I'd have taken those years of singleness and go live in Italy and learn the language and where there's darkness and go preach the gospel. I just look back at some of those things. And so I think when you think of man-sized challenges, tether them to the gospel and being missional and taking more risk. And for me, it's being unpredictable. Nobody in your family would predict you'd ever do this, do that. You know, find out what they would think. That is crazy. Steve is crazy. Mike is crazy. Andrew's crazy if they did that. That's the kind of thing I want to do. That's what's in your heart. That's that passion when you get challenged to do something, not what's comfortable, which I think you said.
And I would go back to what Mike was saying about how, you know, that does make you anxious. And part of it is because as men, we don't want to fall on our face.
Yep.
And we don't want to mess up. And so it's part of the reason why we aim lower. I've heard of these brilliant students who are very reluctant to take a out of the ordinary class in college because they don't want anything that's going to screw up their 4.0. When actually they would benefit more by taking on something that could blow up their GPA but stretch them. And what we don't want to get into is that place of, well, I'd rather just take just enough risk that I'm not going to fall on my face. And it's also what attracts people to video games or even men to pornography is because you stay in virtual category where you can get wins at lower risk. And what it does is it numbs your ability to go deal with the messiness of risk in the real world where there is a good chance that you're going to swing for the fences and foul out. You know, or strikeout. And we need that experience. And that's why I think the man-sized challenges are taking on in the real world some of the messiness, some of the challenge that builds our ability to continually in the real world take on the challenges that we need men to be taking on.
Mm-hmm. And I think that fire is contagious. Like, for your family, I mean, for your boys to see that, Dan, of you taking on the tough mudder, I mean, that is contagious, the ripple effects of us choosing that and accomplishing that goal. I mean, you can't make that stuff up with the way your children then see their father and say, wow, he was a man that will no longer live with regrets 30 years from now because he chose to take on a challenge.
That's good.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes even these man-sized challenges, they need to be public for accountability, and you kind of come out and you declare your intention, and that's helpful. It's just like any form of accountability. It's a layer there. But there's others that are private. I mean, a man-sized challenge, you know, we're in mid-January or so now, would be, hey, get up in the morning earlier than you planned and read your Bible and pray. You don't have to go. You don't have to go public with that. But just getting up in the morning, disciplining yourself in the Word, pray. I mean, you can either stay up late or get up early, depending on your rhythm of life. But Jesus got up a great while before day in Mark 1. He felt compelled. The second person of the Trinity, incarnate, felt compelled to get up early in the morning to pray and be dependent on the Father's will through the Holy Spirit's, you know, direction. That's mind-boggling. So it could be as simple as that's a man-sized challenge for a lot of people listening. Just read a chapter, read two chapters, read three chapters. You read three a day, you're going to go through the New Testament every 3 months, and then pray, and then head off to work.
And I had a friend of mine pose a challenge to this Bible study group that I'm in, and he said, what if we took, for the next 4.5 years, just a book of the Bible, so the first month, January, we do Genesis, next month we jump to the New Testament, and do a single book a month, and at the end of the month, just have a single, this is how this played out in my life this month. And although it's 4.5 years, my thought is, okay, so that's a man-sized challenge to me. I think I then avoid the risk of getting behind in the day-to-day reading, and then next thing you know, you're behind by half the Bible, and you're only halfway through the year or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's a simple challenge, but it's encouraging that reading and just digging into the scripture. For me, who's not a reader by nature like you, Andrew, you love to read. That is an extreme stretch for me to sit down and study the word, and soak in that. And Dan, like you were saying, with the early morning, I mean, I know that would be a challenge for me personally.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, just to kind of wrap this up, going back to that idea of going public, we're now into the year, and if you haven't taken on some kind of stretch for the year, I do think there's value in that, making that commitment, writing a check that you got to cash. I think back to this one time I got lost out on a exploration of this wooded area with a friend, and it had been snowing, and we finally realized we're the place. The only way we can get back is to cross this big creek. And we got to this place, and the guy I was with started taking off his shoes, and he takes his shoes and throws them onto the other side. And I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I know I got to get across, and I'm going to be a lot more motivated knowing my shoes are over there." And so I took mine off and threw my shoes over there, and we found a way, in a way we wouldn't have if we hadn't thrown our shoes over. And so just want to encourage folks. And you know what? To be honest, I bet a lot of our listeners, they already probably have a good idea what the challenge is. It's probably something that God's been putting on their mind or on their heart, and to say, throw your shoes across the bank.
Yeah.
See what comes out of it.
Good word.
So I like that.
Well, thanks, guys. It's been great.
Thank you.